This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
It's another week of the Almost Famous Podcast, and here's the thing. I got to tell everybody a little story who's listening right now. My co-host Ashley is on the line as well. But we're getting ready for today's podcast, and as usual, Ashley and I, we chat a little bit, catch up on life, talk about anything that's going to come up on the podcast. We have our videos up right now because we are doing this remotely. And she walks in, I don't know, Ashley, what would you how would you describe the thing you're wearing? What is that?
It's a crop top and a high-waisted shorts.
Yeah, it's a crop top and high-waisted shorts. And she's like standing there in front of the camera. She's talking to Jared. And we're all on here. The producers and I are on here. And we're all like, crap. Like, Ashley, like, this quarantine's been good to you. And I just told you, like, hey, we're friends here. I've seen you for a long time. I was like, Ashley, you're looking great. And you are.
Thanks.
And you told me this. Well, I mean, there's a reason why... Now, I mean, usually we're wearing sweatshirts on this show.
I know, right?
So, yeah. What's going on?
There's so many things going on. Okay, so first off, I was away from my closet for like 4 months. So ever since we got back to LA 2 weeks ago, I've been kind of wearing like even outfits around the house. Like, I've been trying to look cute. It's the first time in 4 months that not only have I had like all of my clothing options, but that it's just been me and Jared as a couple. And, you know, I just like, I want to look nice for my husband and myself and all that. So like, I've been like, you know, wearing some cuter things around the house than the sweatpants that he saw me in for 4 straight months with my parents. And then this all started because of an ad. And I think that you guys, I think so many people are like, oh, they like sell things, but they don't actually use them. Okay. So in April, I did an ad for OpenFit, and it's this streaming, online workout class service. And I was thinking during quarantine, I'm like, okay, you're in such bad shape. Literally your heart races, not just when you go up the stairs, but when you go from like, when you get up from the couch and go into another room, like it's really, really bad. I was like skinny fat because nobody would know that I was in that bad of shape. But I wasn't, like, my heart wasn't healthy. So once I like heard about OpenFit through doing this ad, I'm like, okay, well, this is easy enough. Like, I can do 30 minutes at home on a mat with a resistance band every day. So that's what I started doing then. And then I've been doing it 4 or 5 times a week, just a half an hour, an OpenFit class. They're like bar or Pilates classes at home. And I've been doing it consistently, working out consistently for the first time in legit 9 years. Like, I had like little spurts throughout then.
Yeah.
Like when we did Winter Games, like I worked out for like a month before that. But okay, this is the first time that it's been like over a span of a few months. And I've just like had a regular schedule with it. And then finally, I mean, like, holy shit, like, you guys are probably like, Ashley, we don't really care that much. But when people say like, what have you done over quarantine? Truly, the answer is probably made myself healthier. So I'm kind of into it. I've always been into like health, like I've always been into like kind of like medicine. It's the other field that is so opposite of like hosting and journalism that I could have ever gone. But my dad's a doctor, and I've always just been like really interested in learning about the body. So what everybody's going to actually care about, and that you may have read if you follow me on Instagram, is that I'm going to get off the pill in September, because obviously Jared and I are going to try to get pregnant then.
Wow.
But I've been on the pill for 9 years to control my hormonal cystic acne. And I've been working with a naturopathic doctor. Her name is Stacy Shillington, over the past 2 weeks to naturally get me off the pill, which means regulating my hormones mostly through diet. And I don't mean diet as in like the losing weight term. I mean diet as in like eating the proper things that'll help balance your hormones naturally. And I've been following her program for the past 2 weeks, taking some supplements, but mostly just changing my eating habits. She suggested me going cold turkey with gluten and dairy to see if I had like any sort of inflammation because of it. And I was a couple days into it and I was like, this is ruining my life. I truly, like, I'm a person who loves food so much. Ben, am I like super going overboard? Am I going overboard?
No. I mean, I think it's interesting. I mean, yeah, but I think it's interesting.
But I'm a person who, like, just, like, food is something I look forward to every day. Like, dinner is truly, like, that time where it's like, oh, my God, what am I having for dinner? It is the best part of my day sort of person. So eliminating dairy and gluten just completely, it affects your social life and it affects your happiness. So I was like, okay, I'm going to cut down on that and sugar. And my body has transformed even further from working out over the past 2 weeks since I started eating so naturally, so many vegetables, a lot of seeds, beans, and all that stuff.
It's showing, Ashley. Obviously, we all are super pumped.
Was that the longest answer to your question ever?
It was the best answer to my question ever.
But in the Bachelor headline of it all, Ashley and Jared are going to try to get pregnant starting in September. I think it's so funny when people are like, oh my God, what a glow. She must be pregnant. I'm like, I've been very open about the fact I am on the pill.
Yeah, well, and I think that's a big takeaway here is, you know, you're making these decisions for your future here that you're planning. I'm super pumped for you. A little Ashley and Jared baby will be...
It will be cute.
It'll be cute. It'll be beautiful. You guys are beautiful. Ashley, hey, as you get healthier in life, the podcast is getting healthier as we go. We just got the numbers report. Listeners are up right now during quarantine. It's been a blast to be talking with you all. Today is no different. We have a lot of really exciting news in Bachelor Nation. Some you may have heard and some news you may have never heard yet, and it will be, you might be hearing it for the first time here on the Almost Famous podcast. But before we get to hot topics in Bachelor Nation, let's take a break, hear from one of our sponsors. We'll come back with our producer, our head producer, and one of the creators of the show, Amy Sugarman, with an update on what The Bachelor is going to do for filming this year. All right, Ashley, we do have hot topics in Bachelor Nation. These topics this week are less, I'd say, people-focused and more show-focused. The Bachelorette has announced that they were going to be starting filming again. They've picked a location. In a second, we're going to bring on Amy to give some details about this location. She's been there many times before. She knows it well, so she knows what we can expect. Ashley, what do you think? You excited?
Okay, so when I heard La Quinta, I'm like, okay, I think I know this is in Palm Springs and it's not the La Quinta on the side of the road. Apparently, I'm even saying the hotel.
It's La Quinta.
Not the bougie. Okay, yes. Okay, sorry. I'm not saying it in the bougie way. It's spelled the same as La Quinta on the side of the road. It's Quinta?
Quinta.
Quinta.
Yeah.
Quinta. Okay, so it's a Coachella hotspot. And it has 41 pools, 23 tennis courts, and because it's The Bachelor, we should know that there are 53 hot tubs. There's also 5 golf courses, 7 restaurants, 796 guest rooms, and you guys, it's 1,400 acres. Like, can somebody put that in mileage form for me? Does anybody know how many square miles that is? This place is a city.
It is. I mean, I think it's going to be perfect, right? Well, let's find out if it's going to be perfect. Let's bring on Amy now, who's been there before, to give us some details about the location.
Hi, guys. Wait, Ashley, have you never stayed there with us?
No.
Okay, so Ben is right. It's called La Quinta. And I've been there many, many, many times. And a lot of Bachelor Nation has stayed there, especially during Stagecoach. So first of all, it's 118 degrees there right now.
Holy
so that's
moly.
Kind of gnarly. But okay, so I have talked to some secret sources that are there, but I'll tell people what it's like so we can sort of analyze how they're going to shoot it. So it's
Amy,
all...
Amy, just real quick. This is... La Quinta is 2.1 square miles. So if you take a square mile, as most of us know, the kids are learning this in kindergarten today. It's 2 miles south, 2 miles north, 2 miles west, yeah. 2 miles east. That's a big piece of property.
It takes okay, like so that's 10 minutes. Like, 10 minutes to walk from one end to the other.
Maybe makes even sense. More based on those numbers. That's
I've walked.
It's okay,
big.
So
it's big.
Do they have golf carts and stuff going around like they
for
do
sure.
at
and
the
they,
Vendanta for Paradise?
So there's no one there but Bachelor cast and crew. So that's kind of cool. Now, there are some homeowners nearby. So I was sort of asking, can the homeowners walk over? But they kind of have it sectioned off where they're shooting. So there's a million private pools, and then there's two really huge pools. So I'm sure they're using those in some ways. The other thing that I was thinking about is there definitely are fantasy suites. So there are some rooms that we've seen or stayed in that are like more lavish, that have living rooms and dining rooms and private pools and are all gated. So I'm imagining mm-hmm. they'll be using those in some way. And they have like the run of the resort. So they could set up fancy dinners or sort of like bachelor date nights on the lawn or, you know, on the golf course or in the restaurants. No one's there. So I've sort of been trying to figure out how they're going to do it. And everyone, you know, everyone's staying. So unlike in the mansion, they're all staying in their room.
What?
So the guys aren't necessarily like sleeping in a big mansion like they would normally. So they all would have their own rooms, or maybe two guys to a room.
Which these guys are going to be so spoiled. That's so nice to be able to retreat to your own room. But do you think that they're going to have like gathering areas that the guys like pretty much have to stay in? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, okay. So I'll describe it to you. There's little pools, and let's say there's 15 rooms right around that little pool. So you step out your door and you would be outside where all the other guys would be. Uh-huh. It's unavoidable to not see each other, but I don't know where they'll put Claire. But I do think it's set up that it's going to be really, really cool to watch, just knowing the way the resort is. And you could definitely have tons of drama.
Okay, wait. But speaking of drama, how do we think that we're going to be able to force these guys to be together enough that like they won't be able to escape from each other and just not even bring up drama?
Well, I mean, I think that if you did anything other than sleep, you're going to be where the other guys okay. are.
So they'll just be forced the to be in a group setting.
For sure. Okay. For sure. There is tennis, golf. So I'm sure they're going to have to incorporate that. But it's so hot. That's the other thing I can't imagine. I mean, it's the middle of the desert. So it's about 2.5 hours from Los Angeles. So you just take the 10 freeway out from LA straight to La Quinta, and it is where a lot of people stay during Coachella and Stagecoach. So I just don't, Amy, and I don't think they can leave the resort because they're all tested and in this bubble. So even though there could be things for them to do outside the resort, I don't think they can leave.
So, I mean, what can we expect then? I mean, this doesn't sound like we're going to be missing out on too much other than the travel piece of the show.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be so good. I think it's going to change it up just enough, but we're going to have all the interactions, drama, and they'll set it up where there's, you know, two-on-ones just like you would have, or group dates just like you would have. The resort is laid out in a way where you could fully do it very, very similarly to the way they only always do. You just won't be going to other locations, which I don't really care. That never,
nobody cares. The audience doesn't care.
That never was this like, oh, they're in Denmark. I'm so thrilled.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care.
It's like good for you. I'm jealous, but it doesn't really affect my viewing.
I wonder if they could do like one of those, you know, pop-up concerts, because if they tested the artists and let them into the bubble, maybe they could. I don't know. We'll see who's in that tested bubble.
Good point. Okay, Aim, do you think that from your sources – they're going to be testing the guys throughout the entire process? Because, like, I heard that it could be up to every 3 days they get a swab
yeah.
of their nose.
That's what I'm hearing. I mean, I'm hearing – so this is me putting together information. No one's told me this, but everyone's been tested, quarantined, tested again, and will be tested throughout the whole run of the show, 6-7 weeks, whatever it is. And, yeah, I mean, it feels like if they're in the bubble – it seems pretty safe because they're not really having any contact with anyone from the outside, and all the crew stays there too. So they're not going home like they normally would when they're at the mansion. because normally producers would go sleep at their own houses when they're filming in Los Angeles, so they're not doing that.
Do we know when this is starting?
They are going. I don't know if there's actually cameras rolling, but they are all there.
They say cameras roll on Friday, this coming Friday.
Holy cow. So we're 4 days away.
Yeah, the guys flew in on Thursday and Friday last week, so quarantined for a week. Now, I don't know if you've heard anything about this, Aim, but have you heard that they have sent over a lot of extras who don't know they're extras? And they did this so that if somebody is diagnosed with COVID, that they fill in for them.
I haven't heard that, but it makes sense that they have people there just in case. Now, once they start going, I don't know if they'll ever use those guys or not.
Isn't that sad? Could you imagine? There's always two people or so on backup. They go to the hotel and then they kind of drop them there, which is heart-wrenching.
Right.
But if they do that to multiple, like lots, like more than two, really fly them out, they don't know who they are until like the day before. Like, oh, by the way, thank you for quarantining yourself at this fine resort for a week, but right. We no longer need your services.
See you. I think it's going to be really good because it's going to change it up just enough, but we're still going to have everything we love so much, you know, like we're still going to have the competition amongst the guys. We're going to have the, you know, all the sort of juiciness of her being older is still going to be in play, you know, and being a bit more serious maybe about it and maybe more conversations like she probably wants to have kids. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for her, but that's a lot different than a 23-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Let's just, it's probably going to be just like Paradise. Why are we thinking this is going to be so wacky when we already have a series that is such a fan favorite that is filmed every year at a resort?
What I thought too, obviously when we all rewatched Trista, that didn't have as much traveling. They didn't used to travel as much in the old days. So it's just going to feel like that, which was one of the best seasons ever.
Same with Chris Soules' season. We didn't start traveling until week five.
Well,
so
didn't
that's
you go to Iowa?
Went to Iowa and Santa Fe and South Dakota.
Yeah, so
that's something special to me. Those flyover states have a special place in my heart.
They're pretty beautiful. They are very sweet. I like them.
I also think it's going to be pretty cool once this airs and then, you know, we all can travel again normal to go to La Quinta. Because you could really live the Bachelor experience once, you know, they film the show there. I can't believe you've never been. I mean, we've been 50 times. I've been there many. I'm trying to think what Bachelor people I've been there with, but I've definitely been
Becca.
There with Bachelor.
Becca's been there a
Becca
lot.
Oh, Becca for sure.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, thanks for coming on. Thanks for giving us the insight. We look forward to it. As we've heard, this is all speculation, but we know it's starting. They're setting up. We heard that cameras start rolling Friday, as our source, Amy, tells us.
Amy's a very reliable source.
Yeah, we should expect a big season.
I have spoken to people within the gates of La Quinta, as Ashley calls it, La Quinta.
La Quinta. Amy, thanks for coming on. You're the best.
Bye, guys. Talk to you in a little bit. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Another show news. And it ties in here. Robert Mills, who is the executive ABC, has came out publicly this week. He was asked about this new show that they're going to try to do, the Bachelor Senior Citizen spinoff. Obviously, it got a lot of attention when they kind of started to announce it during the last season of The Bachelor, during Peter's season. Then it kind of went quiet. Nobody really knew, but everything in production has halted for the last few months. So in an interview recently, ABC executive Robert Mills did come out in an exclusive and say that, yes, The Bachelorette, this was with Variety, by the way, The Bachelorette and Bachelor are two main focuses for them to get filmed this year. This is something that they really want to do with Claire's season coming up and then with Matt James's season coming up following that. But in 2021, 2022, they really are hoping to do a Bachelor Senior Citizen spinoff because, as Robert Mills said, the stories, the applications were so heart-filled and they pulled at the heartstrings so much that they believe this could be something incredibly special. So don't count that out. We've gotten a lot of questions about it through email and on Twitter, And for the first time, we have some information that he says, God willing, we return to some normalcy in the world. We will obviously want to get back to Bachelor in Paradise because that will have been off a year. But soon following, it would be great to do a Bachelor Citizen spinoff.
Aw, that's so sweet. Everybody was stoked about that. And everybody who had parents whose spouse had passed away or they were older and divorced, there was so much excitement about signing those people up. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll happen, but you're right. I mean, this is just not going to be a priority right now for them.
I think it would be huge. These other shows, and you and I have always kind of like speculated, and I've always had more of a negative opinion than you have on how they're going to go.
Spin-offs,
like, you know,
yeah.
The spinoffs, like Listen to Your Heart. I'm like, I don't really know how that's going to work. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. The Bachelor Go, I got why they were doing it. It took a ton of time, but they had to get content out there. Mm-hmm. Winter Games, we did it as trying to figure out what it was going to be. Summer Games, I think, could work. I really, I am 100% in on a Senior Citizen spinoff. Like, I think that could be huge.
Ben, did you know that Bachelor Goat is actually spanning all the way until August 31st?
I had no clue.
Yeah, neither did I. I learned it this weekend.
That's wild. Well, I mean, I get it. The content has to be out there. Anyways, that's from Robert Mills. Ashley, there's some more hot topics coming up. We'll go back to talk about Claire Crawley's season. Claire obviously is the Bachelorette, and we think that filming will start this Friday. She has shared an empowering message to herself before, though, filming begins. This according to Us Magazine.
Yes. Okay, so I could read this to you guys, but I would suggest you just go and read it to herself. It is just a very sweet message about how she's grown over the past couple years and has taken every negative or challenging situation, romantically or otherwise, and turned it into who she is today and the person who was, you know, crowned the Bachelorette. So she's just very thankful for everything she's gone through and toughing it out. I'll give you a little dirt. I texted her after seeing this, or the day after seeing this, because I was like, oh my gosh, this must be her send-off. I have to say something. And she didn't respond. So I think her phone has been taken away as of Friday.
Good for her. Well, we hope so. I mean, we've talked about it here before. We want Claire to be celebrated. We think it's going to be a great season. So we hope she's out and filming and having a great time starting next week. Well, we're back to a couple that has recently split in Bachelor Nation, at least announced their split. It's Colton Underwood and Cassie Randolph. It hasn't gone, it doesn't seem like, we've hinted at it last week. I remember you and I speculated, hey, this doesn't feel like it's going very well. It feels like it's a little messy. Colton's been out there posting, and we mentioned that Cassie had taken 30 days from social media. So we just, the balance fell off. Well, we now know more, because Cassie Randolph says that Colton Underwood, she accuses him of trying to monetize their split. This, again, according to Us Magazine.
Okay, so have you been following this story? Because it's kind of juicy.
As I saw these headlines, I went back and I started watching, and I saw Colton's post that this kind of like passive aggressive way of saying that, hey, we agreed to this, but it didn't happen. So now I'm going to dive in head first. And then you have Cassie obviously quoted with some things saying, hey, he's monetizing this. This is wrong. But that's about as far as I've gotten. I'm really counting on you to give us the dirt.
Okay. So yes, let's start with what you said. Apparently there's tension between them because Cassie did go on the GOAT, did the interview with Chris Harrison, and But the thing is, I get that Colton's mad that she did this interview without obviously telling him, but she told nothing. And it was
she did
so
nothing. She went on there, and like, if I would have watched that as an ex, I'm like, that was pretty respectful because she literally said nothing.
That's what I said last week. I thought it was super tasteful, very respectful. And you could see how uncomfortable she was when Chris was trying to push her more information, and she stood her ground. She didn't say anything. I would have been like, okay. But then Colton goes on Instagram, and in some sort of passive aggressive way, I guess he says like things changed this week. Like he's like, I was, you know, this was going to be private, but things changed this week. But honestly, I think they still remained pretty private, even though Cassie did just show her face on the show. So then after Colton said things changed this week, Cassie got on her Instagram story and posted a number of slides calling Colton out, like talking to him directly, saying, Colton, you blah, 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 Colton, blah, 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 blah. And this, I guess, was just an alternative of her calling him, texting him directly, but she wanted to put it out there publicly so that fans would understand that, like, it would be on record that they're no longer, that they're not talking about this in public. Like, mm-hmm. how do you describe that, Ben? Like, she basically wanted to keep him accountable as the, and then, like, was using the public to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just said it. Like, it felt like, watching it, she just wants her side to be out there to say, hey, I want to give everybody a notice that this is our situation. This is what I feel like is going on. And I mean, I'm assuming she did this because she doesn't feel like it's right. And she just doesn't want it to go. I'll say this. I only know from my own experience, public breakups are hard. Both sides probably have agreed to something. They have behind the scenes. Hey, we're not going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point you're going to have to talk about it because here I am 4 years later.
And people still ask you?
People still ask me about it, even though I am engaged. Like, it's something that you have to find that, like, middle ground to talk about it without saying too much, without throwing the other person under the bus, without making it hostile. And I think Lauren and I have tried to do that for each other. And there has been very few, if any, times where I remember going, wow, that really hurt that she said that. And I hope she would say that about me. Mm-hmm. But you have to talk about it. And so for Cassie to go on and just not really say anything, that's kind of what you have to do because you're not going to hide forever.
Right.
And she feels like the other side, she feels like Colton, from what she says here, has gone too far where he now is trying to monetize it.
Okay. So then it looks as if on Monday evening, as Cassie says, which was the day that her GOAT interview aired, quote, you informed me, Colton, that you intend to monetize our breakup by writing a new chapter to discuss your experience with COVID, where you stayed in my family's house during your recovery, and about our breakup. You also refused to give me any sort of approval on the chapter that you'll be writing, which will heavily feature me. This seems a bit unfair to me. Colton, you can do what you want, but please don't have a double standard. So what it's like, if I'm being a detective here, is that her episode aired, he got really mad and then said, like, I'm writing a chapter on this, blah, 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 blah. And now she's like, okay, this is absolutely ridiculous, so you're gonna take my interview in which I said nothing and now you're gonna write a whole chapter about this?
Yeah, I think that's where we sit. I think it's where he sit. And to his
good.
Okay, so to his credit here, I get, you know, he has this book. He wrote this book. He wants to add, you know, he wants to keep it in the headlines. He wants to continue to sell copies. You know, nobody knows yet what detail he'll go into on this book. He might, like she did on her interview, he might gloss over everything kind of similar to what she did on the interview. So I understand that. Now, does she need to approve it or not? You know, that's up to them. I can't even say. I don't know what's right or wrong there. But the point of this is there's obviously high tensions now. It's very public.
Oh, they're never going to be friends again. If they were on good terms, I don't know that they're going to recover from this.
It's very public. I mean, it feels really heavy. And honestly, Ashley, like as I read more and more into this, I think Cassie is just crying out to say, Colton, stop. Like this is disingenuous. And Colton's going back to say, I'm going to do right because this is a part of my story. I'm going to share it as I will. And so I don't know how you come to the middle on that now. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, she's saying, Colton, this seems disingenuous. There's a double standard. Like, you can't monetize our breakup and at the same time get mad at me for going on to speak to Chris Harrison and saying nothing. Colton saying, this is my story. My book is also my story. So I have every right to write it in. And because you went on Chris Harrison's deal, according to his post, it gives me now the freedom to do what I want.
I mean,
now here's the question. Here's the question.
Did a tell all interview with him. If like, you know, she sat down for a half an hour fireside chat with Chris Harrison, spilled every detail, then I'd be like, sure, Colton, go write the chapter. But to react to the interview that she did, like, this is insane. It's like, Colton, are you never going to do an interview again? And you expect that the interviewer won't ever ask you about Cassie?
That's what I was going to say. The point is like, hey, would he have, if Cassie never does this first, does it mean that Colton was never going to write the chapter? Like, because it feels like that's what he's using it. Like, hey, she went on, so now I can write it. And because things have changed from what we agreed upon, or was he already in the process of writing it and this gave the excuse? Or what was he going to do? I mean, we would all be naive to think that in Bachelor World, we're not going to be asked about our exes ever. Like, right. He was going to be asked, especially if he wants to stay in the public eye. As I said, I mean, I'm 4 years out and I still get asked about it. And there's a really, like, a very truth-filled answer that I give that is hopefully respectful to both parties, that gives enough for the viewers to understand where we're coming from. But I had to learn that along the way. That wasn't my first reaction. Here's my advice to them. Not that my advice is warranted, is to take a couple deep breaths, because your first reaction a few months out is going to be a lot different than when you're 4 years out or 3 years out later and one person's married and you're engaged. You no longer have the anger or resentment that you once held. So like, pause a second before you jump to conclusions. Mm-hmm. Think about what you want to say, how you really feel about this person. Because time heals all. And if you're mad now, I doubt you're going to be mad 4 years later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Cassie mentions that. She says, let's not. She's like, I would like that you don't cloud our great 1.5 year relationship with this messy breakup.
Colton and Cassie, which once seemed to be they were getting tattoos or whatever that was. And they were like friendly with each other, now feels heavy. That according to Us magazine. So we'll follow that story. I don't know what else will go on there. Maybe, hopefully for everybody's sake, they'll recover and mend wounds and move on and move forward respectfully and authentically. But we will see. Next story is The Bachelor's Kayla Quinn wants to say yes to the dress, except her mom thinks it's basic. This according to E! Online.
I watched this clip. I think the episode may have aired on Saturday night, but you know, TLC runs them just in the loop. I love Say Yes to the Dress. The dress that Kayla picked that her mom thought was bland, I thought was beautiful. It was very on brand for Kayla. It was very princessy. It was conservative. It really highlighted her body shape. So I don't know on the clip if she picks this dress and her mom's still like not keen on it. But if you guys can find the episode, it'll be a good one. Cause I think you do get to see the dress that she's going to wear at I think they're having two ceremonies, but I think she said that she was going to wear the same dress at both of them. But anyway, it's always fun to watch somebody pick out a wedding dress, especially if you know them from Bachelor Nation.
I'm pumped for that. Obviously, Kayla was on the 20th season of The Bachelor, which just happened to be the season that I was the Bachelor of, and we're up. I mean, just pumped for her. She will be seen on again. Say Yes to the Dress. Hey Ashley, Hannah Ann and Madison Pruitt, they're friends. I didn't know this. They're friends. They've showed up a couple times together, right? They've been talking. They hang out. Well, they have started to react to some of the most cringe Bachelor moments, and fans love it. I mean, they're freaking out over it.
Okay, what they did is really cute. I think it was a TikTok, but I watched it on Instagram. They took like expressions that they made on The Bachelor, whether it was crying or just like biting her lip, making a weird face, and they put themselves like on the, they like projected themselves on the screen and then would reenact it in like a modern day scenario. And it's funny to watch the two of them go back and forth between all their memorable reactions on the show. It's really cute.
Yeah. So they're friends, obviously. They've been hanging out. We've seen them in dual interviews together. Did I miss it? Like, was it happening on the show, or is this something after the show?
I think they were pretty friendly on the show. I'm sure that there became a time where like there was a sense of rivalry, but when neither of you end up with the guy, I think that that kind of dissipates.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Well, actually, that's what we have in Bachelor Nation news. Obviously, those are some big stories with the start of the Bachelorette filming, where it's being filmed. Amy came on, gave us some great details and insight, along with the unfortunate. This is not the unfortunate scenario that Colton and Cassie, I mean, I've been there, and this sucks. Like, it no matter what side you're on, no matter who you agree with and don't agree with, I don't know if that even matters as much as when there is this kind of hostility within a couple after being watching them on TV. It just is hard as a you know, to watch. It's not fun. It doesn't feel like stuff we should be watching. We wish them to reconcile, and if they don't need to be best friends. Like, I mean, Lauren and I are not best friends. We never were best friends afterwards. We've barely talked, and that's, I think, very common with exes. Mm-hmm. The point that you hope to get to is just where both parties can move forward, release any burdens and any baggage and any like pains, and forgive, and then say, hey, we're going to look forward to the future. I mean, but right now it doesn't feel like it's getting in that direction. So we hope that for them. Well, that's all the news we have of Bachelor Nation. Let's take one more break. When we come back, I'm going to give it a quick update on where we're at with the Bachelor Live on stage. We've gotten some questions, and I have some answers. So we'll be back with the Almost Famous podcast.
Ben, I do want you to talk about the status of Bachelor Live, but first, did we confirm this a couple weeks ago? I want to go into Ben news. Are you and Jess waiting till 2021 to get married now?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we are. So just in all transparency, this is where our thought process went. Ideally, it would have been this year we got married. Obviously,
November was the idea.
Yeah, November was the idea. COVID, you know, kind of stopped those plans. And so then we go, okay, let's look at 2021. Well, early 2021, I was supposed to be on tour again. The Bachelor Live on stage was supposed to pick up and start touring. That was important for Jess and I to be able to do. It's a good.
And you wanted to do that while married.
We were going to do it before we got married, because it was just the timing of all. We weren't going to be able to plan a wedding for like the January through April dates that we thought the tour was going to be going on.
Knowing
I'd be on tour.
Okay.
And it's important for me to do that. It's a good source of income for us. We both were pumped about the idea of it. So we're like, okay, we'll do it mid-year. Well, then her brother plays professional baseball, as I've mentioned before.
Okay,
and
he will enter into season. Yeah. Okay, so I remember when you guys first talked about your engagement, and you were like, the wedding revolves around her brother's baseball schedule, so that's why I thought you guys decided on November.
Yeah, and it's joyfully around his schedule. I don't want to make it sound like he's forcing us. Like, you know, like there's a lot that's going to be going on during his season. It's her brother. You know, she only has two brothers. Like, she wants him there. It's important for to have him there. And so we're like, that's fine. And now we're looking, and unfortunately now, and actually it might actually work according to what we're hearing. We've now planned it to be around November 2021. We don't have an exact date yet. We're finalizing the location of it. But I do believe it will be in November of 2021 that we'll be getting married. Yes, that feels like a long time. Yes, that feels hard. And it's not ideal. But what Jess and I have been able to do is like mentally wrap our brains around the idea, how much fun is it going to be engaged for a year and a half? And we're talking to each other in that way. Like, this is a fun time. We should enjoy this. We can celebrate this. And hopefully by then, you know, COVID is – cross our fingers, it's far enough gone that our family can be there and celebrate with the freedom of knowing that, you know, there's a solution to the COVID virus. And we can look at it in that manner.
Okay, so first off, whenever Jared and I are talking to a couple who's had to postpone because of COVID, we're like, this is the time to enjoy, like, that looking forward to the wedding time. So our wedding was truly like, it was mind-bogglingly perfect. Okay, like we still can't believe it happened, and it happened as well as it did, and it was everything we'd ever dreamed, but it is one day. And by the time, and when it's over, you're like, holy moly, I will never be able to experience that day again. So now every single day leading up to your wedding, you'll be like, today I will savor the fact that my wedding hasn't happened and it's going to be the best day of my life.
It's going to be awesome. And we're keeping that. Like, we're keeping that mindset. It's exciting for us.
Mm-hmm. And part two, I have to know how you and Jess are going to deal with living apart for the next year and a half, because I know that that was one of the reasons that you definitely want to get married this year, because you don't want to live together until you're married, which I totally love and respect.
Yeah, it's not easy. And I don't ever want anybody to think when they hear us talk about that, they're like, this is just a joyful decision that we made. Yes, it's healthy for us. It's good for us. It's the best thing for us as people. But like, Ashley, it's not easy. It's not, I don't think it should be easy. I miss her often. We're apart right now, but one of the things that we've done to kind of make up and I guess, distract us from the time apart is both of us have decided to and enter into learning or trying or investing our time in the new things over this time that we're engaged. So Jess, as I mentioned, has gone back to esthetician school to be a more like qualified, trustworthy voice when it comes to skincare. And when she talks about, you know, the acne diet or the face washes and the natural products that you can use, like she really desires to be a trusted voice. So she's in school right now in Nashville. I'm back in Denver, and we have the restaurants and the coffee shops here. And we're investing into those things. So it's not going to be, I'm sure there's going to be a time that it hits us. We will be seeing each other often, but we will be apart until that day. And I want to believe and trust that it will, in 5 years, we'll look back and it will almost be just a distant memory of how much time we spent apart, and that we have a lifetime together, hopefully. God willing.
A lifetime together. You should also savor this time where it is so exciting to see each other. I always tell Jared, I'm like, you know, the one thing that makes me sad about us moving in while we were engaged was that, like, I miss the excitement of hearing your footsteps come up to my door, and like the fact that I would light candles and put perfume and makeup on before you came over, because it feels like more of like a dating thing. When you live together, you can't be in that perfect state, not perfect state, but like the I put makeup on and look cute for you when you come over phase.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. So we're looking forward to it. Things are great with us. I appreciate you asking. I do appreciate you asking very much. It means a lot, and it's not going to be easy. So hey, Almost Famous family, Ashley, we could use your support in the next year and a half that we'll be planning this and prepping for it, just like I know a lot of you out there are making huge wedding changes or dating changes in life because of COVID. We're in this together. You ain't alone. And then, hey, I was going to kind of give the Bachelor Live on Stage is still planning on coming back. The exact dates, we don't know when. It's looking more like mid next year to end of next year, just because of the shutdown and kind of what Broadway is doing. And unfortunately, you know, we all just heard that Cirque from Cirque du Soleil, you know, has declared bankruptcy. It's been really hard on the industry. But for anybody out there that's asked when is it coming back or coming to a city near you, we do plan on coming back. We do look forward to seeing you soon. We just don't know when yet. And I think that's just kind of a common theme. I'm writing a letter right now to the staff at Generous, and my theme is confusion, chaos, and the unknown. And it feels like kind of where we're at right now with everything.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So stay tuned, guys. I think that's all we got to talk about today, Benjamin.
That's it, Ash. Well, hey, we'll be back next week with another episode of the Almost Famous podcast. Wishing you everybody the best. Stay healthy. Stay safe, and
wear a mask, please.
Wear a mask. It's easy, not fun, but it's easy to do. Well, hey, Ashley, miss you. See you soon. Hopefully, in the next year. But with that, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley.
Later, guys.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.